Hello and welcome to another edition of the Business Link podcast. I'm Becca Fowler from the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce. Don't forget to check out our previous Business Link episodes at our website at www.lcoc.com. Today in the AOI podcast studio, I am joined by Cassie Smith from Status Haymarket, and we are going to talk about fashion and entrepreneurship here in Lincoln. Cassie, I am super excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm honored, truthfully, to be here.
I have enjoyed getting to know you this last year because I feel like just your overall passion for what you're doing and women in general, it just shines through anytime we hang out. So
Thank you.
I wanted to showcase that to other people.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you own Status. Tell me a little bit about Status and why you decided to focus on designer bags and fashion and women in general.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's a loaded question.
Let's start with the bangers. Why don't we?
Okay. I'm like, wow, let's just get it all out there right this second. So I have always been obsessed with fashion. That has just been something that stayed with me my whole life. I've always kind of had my own little vibe going, and people would always be like, wow, I could never pull that off. And I always thought to myself, well, you could if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, it's fashion is a choice to me, which I will say this, FYI, I wore polka dots in honor of Diane Keaton.
Oh, as you
because
should.
She was such a fashion icon. And one of the things that I admired about her was her willingness to stand on her own, to go against the crowd, to say, this is who I am, this is what moves me, and this is what I'm going to do. And I feel like we are missing that a lot as women, because we're so afraid of going against the status quo. And we have enough fights in our life that we don't want to fight that. And I believe that true empowerment is the willingness to stand 100% in your own power and not allowing the outside sources to affect you. I'm not saying that's easy or done all the time or perfectly, but I think that that is something that I strive to teach to all women. And obviously, you know a lot about my story, but breast cancer is a huge factor in that, and having to redefine who I was at 32 years old after getting breast cancer. And that was a terrifying thing of like trying to figure out, we get raised this way our whole lives, is this is what your value is as a woman. This is what your value is to men in the workplace with children. And all of those things were kind of stripped from me at once.
Yeah.
And I had to figure out what does define me as a woman and who am I? And that's when I started to get my power back and really figure out what mattered to me and how was I going to go about the world making sure that I stood in my own light.
Yeah.
And didn't allow anyone else to dim that light.
I love that. And I love that status is that kind of notated word for that.
So the interesting fact about status is it's not what people think.
Yeah.
Status is actually meant to be, what's the status of your life? Where are you going? What's next? What are you doing? It's very much about how are you moving forward in the world today? Not what have you accomplished in the past, but how are you moving forward now? So that's what status actually means. But then it's obviously a fun, you know, double entendre with the status of the bags.
Right. No, so that's fair. And status is, these bags represent so much to that connotation as well.
Yeah.
I will say this, I am not a fashionista. So the first time I think I went in, or maybe it was the second time when I came in, and you brought me in and you were like, I was complaining about size or something.
You were. My size.
I know, I love that eye roll. And you were like, no, you can fit into this. And you brought me this beautiful wrap dress. And I love that you took that personalized interest.
Yeah.
I appreciated that. And I love that wrap dress. It's still one of my favorites. So
Yay. Yeah,
that personalized touch, I think as entrepreneurs, especially as you get busier and stuff, like I think you've made a good priority to have that relationship.
Yeah. I think that's my fear. One of my biggest fears with the store is as I get busier and I'm trying to go out and connect and do more volunteering and all of that, I don't want to lose that personal touch.
Yeah.
Because I know that when I see women come in my store, I always see them differently than how they see themselves. And one of the goals is I want every woman or man to walk out of my store seeing themselves the way that I see them.
Yeah.
In a different light. Like what we talked about, like, what are you talking about, Becca? This would look amazing on you. This will fit you. Don't be silly.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're like, oh my God, it does.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. Like, but we shortchange ourselves as women all the time, which is one of the reasons that this is so, that I'm so passionate about it.
Yeah.
So I will. I know I went off on like a little rant, so I'll go back to, so I was always into fashion.
Yeah.
Right? And then I spent 20 some years in corporate America, climbing ladders, doing all that kind of stuff. And then it really was after cancer that I went through that period of I'm done living by other people's rules. And when I was diagnosed with cancer, my father had just been diagnosed with cancer 2 years before.
Oh, I don't know that I knew that.
No,
oh my
most
goodness.
People don't. So as he was nearing the end of his life, it seems like it was such a battle with employers. Like, I need to get down and see my dad, and because my parents lived in Kansas City. And it was such a battle that I hit a point where I was like, no one else is ever going to tell me whether I can or can't sit by my dad as he dies.
Yeah.
I am not going to live a life where someone else is controlling how I get to show up in my life and in the people I love's lives. Mm-hmm. And that is where the entrepreneur came in. It was more out of, I'm done living by other people's rules. I don't want to live in a world where I'm confined constantly.
Yeah.
So I've actually owned a couple of businesses, none of them very sexy. I had a cleaning company for a few years that I ended up selling. Because I do have a little OCD and I like to clean.
You can come over any day.
It was very fun for a while, but then it like took the joy away from it. So I was like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I did personal training, nutrition, and I worked with women and men at the Cancer Center in Omaha.
Oh, wow.
And taught like yoga and stretching a couple times a week and just people going through treatments and being able to share that hope that there is life after cancer. It doesn't always have to be this devastating diagnosis. So, and then after that, I've done so many different things, but opening status was always, I feel like all of us have that moment of, if I won the lottery, what would I do?
Mm.
What would I do?
Yeah.
And my answer has always been, I would open a boutique and I would buy and sell bags. I wouldn't care if I made money.
Yeah.
I would just do it because I love it, because that's what I like. I want to dress people and I want to buy beautiful bags and I want to explain to people how to invest in bags and why these are different. And when my husband took a job traveling, I said, I want to move to Lincoln. I need to be closer to family if you're going to be on the road a lot. And so we moved to Lincoln and I spent like the first 6 months doing nothing. Like I was trying to figure out, what do I want to do with my life? Do I want to go back into the workforce? Do I want to get a job?
Yeah.
I interviewed for some jobs. I got a couple of offers and I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have someone tell me you have to work this day, this hours. Like there's still just that girl in me that's like, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm not sure if that's the right way to go into entrepreneurship, but
I think it is, though, because when you think about entrepreneurship, it is about taking the risks and doing the thing that feels right. Like there is not one way to get to success, right? And so
Thank God, and
people telling you that you have to do it this way, right? Like the people that are movers and shakers and break the mold are the ones that become successful. And I love that.
Okay.
Right. So great. I appreciate that actually.
Well, thanks. Now I'm like, oh good, I'll be successful.
You're like, I'm just kidding. Okay.
Like, Woo! So I spent like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. Like, I made candles and then I tried to make soap. And I was like, what am I going to do with my life? Because I was like, first of all, a little shout out to Dacovi Skincare here in Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. I tried making soap. I gave my daughters a rash.
Oh, no.
It was horrible. That is very complicated. It is not that simple. So I have great respect for anyone who can do it and be successful at it. I tried making candles, which was very fun.
Yeah.
Me and my mom did it. But I was like, do I really want to be stuck like in my basement making candles all day, every day? This is like not my personality. I don't want to be in the basement.
Yeah.
And I had not lived in Lincoln since I graduated. So I didn't have friends here. I didn't really have any connections here anymore. My husband, I will say, is the one who really pushed everything. He just kept saying, just open your store. And I was like, I am not going to waste our life savings. And he's like, what do you mean? You'll be so successful. And I'm like, that is such a risk. Retail is a crazy risk. And he goes, but I know you. You'll do it. And so he actually made the appointment for me to go look at the retail space.
Really?
He made the appointment. And I believe fully in Kismet. Everything works out the way it's supposed to. And we showed up to look at the place. And it would have been a full build out. It would have been like this massive project.
Yeah.
And we were standing outside and we looked like crazy creepers. And the retail space next door, we saw a guy in there working. And we were like, I was like, we should go say something because we look like really creepy out here, like for 45 minutes, just talking and staring at him. And because we were looking at his displays and everything, like, okay, how do you set it up? And I've never set up a retail store.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. I know fashion and I know how to buy bags, right? So we walked in and we're like, hi, we're not creeping. We're looking at the space next door. And he goes, take my lease. And I was like, what? What? He's like, no, seriously, I want out of my lease.
Oh, wow.
Take my lease. So I went from thinking about opening a retail store to having the keys within like 30 days and being like, what am I doing? I didn't have signage. I didn't have a website. I had never bought, used, set up a POS system in my life.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to go buy clothes. I had no idea how to do that. So I got the quickest education I've maybe ever had setting that up because I was like, all I had were bags. I knew how to buy bags.
Yeah.
And I remember calling like the state of Nebraska like a day or two before I was supposed to open the doors. And I'm like, I still don't have my sales tax thingy. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. And they're like, it's totally fine. It's all going to work out. And, you know, they walk me through it. The state of Nebraska, the ladies that work there are just phenomenal.
Oh,
and they walked me through all of it. And then I opened a store. And it's insane to me that I did that.
That's inspiring that someone, like, even you saying that you've never done this and you still went through and did it. I think, like, we need more entrepreneurs that are willing to take that jump and take that leap. And the best, like I said, like, the most successful entrepreneurs I've seen are the ones that just do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is a key. My daughter doesn't love it when one of my favorite analogies, anytime she's struggling with something, is I always go to Michael Jordan. Why is it with always the sports references? But I'm like, you will miss 100% of the chances you don't take.
Mm.
And you're not going to make every shot.
Yeah.
You have to know that. You're going to have misses.
Right.
I've bought clothes for the store that have been misses. You know, I'm guessing. Like, it was like throwing spaghetti at the wall. I didn't know what the women of Lincoln wanted. I hadn't lived here for over 20 years, almost 30 years. So I didn't know what the women of Lincoln wanted. I just knew what mattered to me and what I wanted the women of Lincoln to have access to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think, like, I definitely want to give a shout out to the bags. Yeah. But, like, part of that, I feel like, is we don't have a high-end provider. But I know that the bag for you is more than just a high-end, right? So one of the one of my favorite pieces about having conversations with you is you telling me the story of the bags.
Oh, yeah.
So I do want to make sure we get that in.
Yes. Yes. So, should we talk about the bags that I brought?
Well, and I want to hear about, like, who's your favorite designer and their passion and that story of them.
You know, I will say it's really, really hard for me to say I have a one overall favorite designer.
Okay.
That's almost...
It's like picking a favorite child.
It is. No, I think that might be easier. No, I'm kidding.
I think don't let your daughter listen to this.
I know. They'll never watch it. I think it's going to always come down to Gucci is probably going to be the love of my life.
Okay.
And I think the interesting thing for Gucci is that they have gone through so many different reputations out there. They've gone through periods where people are like, Gucci is trash and it's the lower end and blah, 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 you know, and there's always been a lot of controversy around Gucci.
Right.
But Gucci, first of all, has made some of the most iconic bags that you've ever seen.
Yeah.
That will stand the test of time. But their collaborations and their willingness to go off the beaten path is part of what I've always loved about them. So it is the interesting collaborations, the things that they've done with Adidas. It is their birds of prey and their floral motifs on bags. It's the funky, weird stuff that everyone else thinks is weird that I'm like, that bag is awesome.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about Gucci. It's just a little more interesting to me.
Okay.
Because they come out with, like, weird stuff.
Yeah.
And then Fendi. Fendi is...
I just want to pet it.
I know. Fendi is artisanal. It's such an artist company. They are very much about... Like, I didn't bring my bag into show, but it's all hand woven. So still to this day, Fendi... This bag is hand-stitched in a Celeria, I don't know if that's how they pronounce it because I'm from Nebraska, but in a Celeria stitch, it's all hand-done by their artisans. This is not mass-produced. It's still done in Fendi, in Italy. It's just so beautiful and so unique. This is a Fendi Monster bag, which I love because it's weird. It looks like a bird. It's kind of, some people think it's super creepy. I think they're so fun. But again, my personality is like not to go with the status quo. Mm-hmm. So, and then this Gucci in particular, this is, I brought that not because it's my favorite looking Gucci, but I brought this because this Gucci is like from the 1960s, I believe. And if you open it up and feel the leather, it is the most magnificent leather still on the inside. And this is a very rare piece. I cannot find another one like it anywhere online. It's just not out there because it's so vintage that people aren't trying to get rid of vintage anymore. And then Chanel. I feel like Chanel is a forever brand. And I know that there's constantly controversy about Chanel and Hermes and blah, blah, blah. But this is a pre-date code Chanel. This Chanel is pre-1984. Think about that. And how beautiful it still looks.
I was going to say.
How good the leather still is. That, for me, is the difference. It's about quality. It's about sustainability. Because that is the other thing. I'm not out here telling people consume new all the time. I don't think that's responsible at all. Especially in this economy, in this world. So part of my passion here, too, is that when a woman finds a bag from my store, it will never be worth less than what they paid for it at my store.
Yeah.
it's never going to go down in value. The only thing that could possibly happen is it could go up in value. And that's the thing, understanding that you can go buy a cool $400 or $500 bag out there, but in a year, it could be worth $40.
Yeah.
But as ridiculous as it may sound, a $4,000 Chanel will always be worth $4,000. And Chanel generally increases in value over the years.
That's
and the
amazing.
More unique a bag is, the more it sustains its value, the more it's going to keep that value. And the more it's like men with Rolexes, right? It's an investment piece. It's not meant to be, but the great thing is when you're carrying a luxury of these qualities, a 40-year-old bag that you've used thousands of times still looks amazing because that's what quality means.
Mm-hmm. I know.
See, this is where I can go off the rails
and
start talking forever about the bags.
You're fine. I genuinely love your storytelling. I think the quality side of things is important, right?
It is.
Yeah. And I also want to make sure to mention, like, I love the uniqueness, right? The whole theme of what you represent and what you're trying to achieve is women being uniquely their own.
Yeah.
And I mean, you do that with clothes as well, because I know you do small batch, right? Like you don't do massive. Yes.
So I don't carry more than 8 of mm-hmm. any one item
because
I want it unique. I don't want you to come into my store and go to an event and find that 5 other women are wearing the same thing as you are.
Yeah.
You're not going to find that. So yeah. I also make sure to carry things in my store that other boutiques and department stores do not carry here in Lincoln on purpose.
I like that. Unique status.
Yeah.
I love this. Okay. So rapid fire advice to other entrepreneurs in Lincoln starting out.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Literally the Nike logo. Just do it.
Yeah.
Fall forward. I just firmly believe that taking action is always going to be better than not taking action. Mm-hmm. I just think it was so terrifying. And I will never lie. I had a day where I laid in bed crying. I've ruined our lives. I don't know how we're ever going to pay our bills. What have I done to us? We're all going to have those moments. It's not about having those down moments. It's about how you move forward past them. Again, it's all about what's the status going forward. It's just take the next step. Just do it.
Thanks for joining us today, Cassie.
Thank you.
It is great to hear your story, and I love what you represent for our community.
Thank you.
So tell us, how can people find you?
Okay. You can find my website at mystatuslux.haymarket.com. And then we are located in the Haymarket in the Canopy District in between Cape Martin and Lim Lab, like directly behind the Creamery. Perfect. I feel like anyone in Lincoln knows those three things.
Yeah.
701 O Street. And we are open Wednesday through Saturday only because it is still mostly just me. Mm-hmm. And I cannot work 7 days a week. So.
Fair enough. Talk about balance.
Yes.
So that's it for today. Business Link. For more of our podcasts, head to lcoc.com or subscribe on Apple and Spotify. I'm Becca Fowler in the AOI podcast studio. Have a great day.